Planning Commission meeting to order. We start off, please, with the pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Could I hear a recommendation on the minutes?
I make a motion to accept as written.
Could I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I abstain since I wasn't here.
Okay. All right, as the new business according to the agenda, call to order, I'm Ralph Lewis, the chairman. Acceptance of the minutes, the new business is the site plan approval for Marius Court, Cambridge, Maryland. 875 square feet. Anybody who's going to testify for that?
I can testify on their behalf. I told them that I would present their case today for them. I do have comments from the outside agencies to present to.
So I swear you in? Do you have to? I mean, I'm asking a question, being you're doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Let's just do it, just to be careful.
Okay. That was a question more than a request.
Yeah. Chris, if I'm going to present the case for an applicant, do I need to be sworn in?
Okay.
No?
Okay.
That's good.
Well, we got, we know from there.
That's right. All right, so I'll talk about it and then also present for them. This is Lot 11, St. Mary's Court, Cambridge, Maryland. This is its own I-1 light industrial district, and they're seeking approval of a site plan for construction of a pole building, 875 square feet. It's currently undeveloped.
I was a little unsure about the 875. That appears to me, because I was squinting at this thing, it looks like it's 4,800 square feet, the building, and this so-called staging area is 875.
Okay, that could be.
And that's why I'm looking at this big thing today.
So what was the total square footage? Oh, I see the staging area now.
Yeah. I mean, this is hard to see, but it's 60 by 80, which is 4,800. This so-called staging area is 875. Am I missing something?
No. Yep. Okay. So the...
Mary, you're eyeballing.
Where is St. Mary's Court?
In the industrial park.
Uh-huh. Up on the left, right off of 50.
Oh, okay.
So we got the 60 by 80, and where's this? Oh, that's the 875 stage. What does staging mean?
So this is a if I can read this, just bear with me, I need to get my eyes to adjust. That would be for vehicles, part of the loading and unloading. This is a I'm going to go look at this house.
Does the industrial park have landscaping requirements?
We really have no landscaping requirements yet. That's one of the things that we're working on with the comprehensive plan.
All right.
It's kind of pretty blank back there.
There's not much back in there.
Yeah.
What you putting out there?
It's a commercial building for storage.
Storage?
And that staging area would be for like loading and unloading vehicles.
The comments that I got from the agencies are, the soil is good. Soil conservation, she had no concerns. She just said that they would just need to get a grading permit, of course, but prior to the construction, which they would and they know about. As far as Public Works recommended that they move the parking to the front of the property as much as possible, just so that as soon as you pull in, there's the entrance for vehicles and parking. That's the only comment they had. Otherwise, they were okay with it. And then Health Department had no comments. They were okay with it, too.
So, Susan, I have a question for you. Is the 875 staging, the parking, and
yes,
have they, and where it's located now, is okay?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Are there any stormwater management requirements?
Yes, and they would handle that through their grading permit.
Okay.
So soil conservation was okay with it at this point,
okay,
just for the conceptual approval. So I would just change that the structure is 50 by 80, and then the staging area is the 875 square feet.
And 60 by 80.
Is it 60 by 80? Okay.
How about a more or less?
Nope.
Did I hear any comments, suggestions, or motions?
Any comments?
Any comments, Mr. Turner?
No. Be nice if there was a little bit of landscaping and architectural features to the thing, but there's no standards for that, so.
Nope.
Mr. Brohorn, Mr. Early?
Yeah, I'm good. That's good. Pretty much a blank slate back there.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No opposition? Move forward.
The next one is Board of Appeal case that we just need no recommendation, or do not recommend from the Planning Commission to the Board of Appeal. It's a variance for 3.2 feet under the current 60-foot setback from the front of the property to construct a front porch on a single-family dwelling, and that's at 4735 Bucktown Road.
Like I said, I was out there yesterday morning, and it is close to the road, but it's going to be a nice home when he's done.
I agree with you, because I go up and down there every day. I don't have a problem with it. He's just trying to improve something and work within the law.
Yeah, and it is only 3 feet.
Do I hear we recommend or disrecommend or leave it be?
Mr. Drummond, do you have any?
No.
No comments? I think we should make a positive recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. We recommend it proceed. Now, I was talking to Mr. Drummond before anything else comes up. Last meeting, Billy wasn't here, so but down to, it was case number 2748. It was the Brito case on Griffiths Neck Road. And I will tell you what happened. I was explaining to Mr. Drummond, the attorney, what happened. I got a call from the contractor, and he was asking, depending on how I was going, I explained to him exactly what happened. It was two lots instead of one lot. And the problem was he was trying to put a outbuilding on one lot and his house on the other lot, where if he had requested the outbuilding to be on the same lot as the house, there wouldn't have been that much trouble, but being that you're having one and then the other, it's up in the air a little bit. So he said, can I have the gentleman call you? I said, fine. So he did call me. He called me after he got a call from her that the meeting had been postponed because there wasn't a quorum. And he was wondering what to do. And he said that the contractor called him, and I explained to him the same thing that I explained to the contractor. He said, well, I don't...
There he is. He's calling to make sure you're talking.
I don't know who you are, but you're gone. But anyway, he said, he was nice about it. Man, couldn't have been any nicer. He said, well, what do I do? I said, I assume that you go to the next appeals hearing when they have it.
Yeah.
And explain to them what you want to do. And that's what I was explaining to Mr. Drummond. Now, does he have to start the process over with us again?
No.
Or can he amend that at the hearing?
He's willing to put the outbuilding on the lot where the house is or is going to be. I don't remember. Is there a house in there? I can't remember.
No, there's two lots. They're individual lots. The house is on one. The other one's vacant.
Should he make that change before, like Mr. Drummond suggested, before it ever gets to them?
But would he even have to go if he changes it?
Yeah, because...
He may not have to.
I can't remember. There's a house on the one lot, right?
Yes. The house would be on the river.
As long as it's within the size, then he...
So
the permitted size, and he doesn't need to go back to the board if it's, you know, greater than, I've forgotten the percentages.
Not a house on it yet.
No, nothing there.
He said he'd make the change to put it on the lot where the house is.
Yes.
So that would make it allowable that you wouldn't need a special exception.
So long as the size is correct.
Correct. And that's what I need to check on, because I don't know if they have any current, the structure is only 1,000 square feet. Most likely the house is larger than that. So he would be, by just the building alone, he would be fine. But just say he already has 1,000 square foot building on that lot, and it is house is 1,800 square feet, he's going to be over 200 square feet. So he would need a special exception for that. That's not a controversial issue. The controversial issue is the fact that he's putting a structure without a primary with no intention of ever putting a primary. So I need to, this is the first that I was aware of it. Let me look at the lots and then do a calculation on accessory versus.
Could you contact the gentleman?
Yes.
He was nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he may not need to actually go at all if he's below his threshold for accessory square footage.
If he would, like I told Mr. Drummond, he talks so nice, I feel sorry.
Because of that, let me ask you, Chris, is there a conflict for people to contact the members directly and talk about the case when it's not during the meeting? Because I've always been under the understanding that they can't talk about a case until it's actually, you know, at the table.
Well, it's my view that citizens can, they always speak to appointed officials, lobby them, ask questions. I would ask, just as Ralph has done, that if that happens, that it be announced at the next meeting that someone was in touch with me. And if the communication outside the meeting is something that might create an ethical problem, then that needs to be discussed. And, an applicant should not, or planning commission members shouldn't collectively speak with someone outside the meeting, because that, if a quorum gets together and speaks with someone outside the meeting, then that would likely be a violation of the Open Meetings Act. But individuals contacting individual members of the planning commission, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So as long as there's no quorum, it's fine,
right?
Then.
But I do think it should be announced that such and so was in touch with me before this meeting. Here's what we discussed.
Just being honest with you.
so, so that anyone, let's say there's a opposition to a particular project, the opposition couldn't argue that there was some undue influence going on behind the scenes if it's all laid out in the open.
Right, okay. Just as a side note, we do not give out your personal information that I have. So we went through this a few months ago with someone else. We do not give out your home address or your personal cell phone. Now, if you had a county address and you had a county phone, we would give that out. But I don't know how people, how now they got your number.
It's been there so long.
It's Dorchester.
I've been here so long.
A friend of a friend. So here's his number.
He's notorious in the county.
Yeah.
He is.
We have talked about county emails for you all. I think it would make sense.
It would. How do you guys feel about it?
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I can pass it along.
So if you, this is not a problem, but it's solved. If you'll call a doctor and just tell them.
Oh, well, yeah, because if we can have one less case this month, that would be even better because we've got a double, double meeting in one. Yep.
Anyway.
Well, before the adjournment, let me mention that there is a bill pending. It's Senate Bill 294, SB 294. Well, I don't know if it's pending yet. It is. It must be because it's got a number, SB 294. It is proposed by, it was initiated by the solar lobbies. And it is a direct consequence of what the Planning Commission did on East New Market last year. And you recall that the Planning Commission declined to approve the site plan because East New Market had not gotten special exception approval, but indicated that if special exception approval had been granted, that the site plan appeared to meet the requirements of the zoning code. And I've explained what happened with the Public Service Commission thereafter about East New Market's solar's claim that that satisfied the conditions of the CPCN, which the Public Service Commission agreed with, despite our objections. So, SB 294, if adopted, would amend Section 7-207 of the Public Utilities Act. And it would say, I don't have the exact words, but the effect of it would be that if the Public Service Commission issued grants a certificate of public convenience and necessity or need with the requirement for local approvals, such as site plan, building permits, and so on and so forth, that the locals will approve those site plans, building permits, and so forth, whether or not the use is consistent with local zoning. Essentially, they would say that local commissions and staff departments would issue permits that it knows are contrary to the local zoning code, but have been told by the state they have to issue it anyway. So we had a conference call last week. I was there on behalf of the county and Queen Anne's County, and I would say probably inferentially Kent County. Represented solar lobbyists and David Bugelmans is a lawyer in Baltimore, does a lot of the work at the Public Service Commission for solar developers, and a MACO representative, Maryland Association of Counties. We batted it around for an hour or so, no resolution. The solar folks, of course, say, oh, we're just doing this to overcome the locals' local jurisdictions' concerns about illegal approvals, and we're just, we see this as a way to grant them the authority to proceed, even if it's contrary to local zoning. And I said, well, it's still illegal, just, you know. And it's a bit of a bludgeon rather than a compromised resolution of the problem. So I did suggest a compromise, which I've suggested before, and it's fallen on deaf ears at the state level. I think ultimately, if the solar push continues from the state, we, I mean the counties and towns, are going to get frozen out. This amendment is an example of how incrementally the state is pushing the counties and the towns to the side to facilitate the development of large-scale solar to meet the state's renewable portfolio standards. So I suggested, in recognition that we may get further and further squeezed and have and keep losing these arguments, a compromise, which might be that the public utilities article or the land use article, I'm not sure where it should go, would set minimum and maximum standards within which counties can operate on things like, on things like landscaping, or height, or size, so that on a statewide basis, a county could not, for example, I'm just picking numbers, a county could not have a local zoning law that says that solar cannot be greater than, let's say, 100 acres. Meaning that the counties would have to create in their zoning code something that says that solar can't be, you know, they can't say it'd be less than 100 acres, just throwing it out there. Such as is in our comp plan now that says that they can't be greater than 35. That's never going to fly. But there'd be a maximum, so that a solar project could not be greater than, let's say, 500 acres. Just maybe it's 400 acres. Maybe it's 300 acres. I don't know. Landscaping buffers, for example. A county could not require that a landscaping buffer be greater than 200 feet from a public road. But under no circumstances would a landscaping buffer be less than 100 feet, so that a solar developer couldn't go to the Public Service Commission, get a CPCN approval with a buffer of 35 feet, and then shove it down the county's throat. I suggested something along those lines. I know counties and towns have always been resistant to statewide land use regulations. Every county wants to do its own thing. But maybe this is an area in which some compromise is needed, and we would have to accept some statewide limitations. So I suggested that. The solar folks said, well, we should talk about that some more, and blah, blah, blah. Haven't heard since. So that's where we stand. If SB 294 passes, then what happened here with East New Market Solar couldn't happen anymore. We'd be obliged to approve the site plan, whether or not they got special exception approval. We would be obliged to approve a site plan if the site plan was shown to the Public Service Commission and it was the basis for a CPCN approval in part, and that site plan did not meet the technical specifications of the zoning code, y'all would still have to approve it if SB 294 passes.
Do you know when that's going to be heard?
I don't think it's been scheduled for a hearing yet.
Do we have any idea how they feel?
Oh, this, no. PPRP has not weighed in on it. Power Plant Research Program, MDE, haven't weighed in on it yet, to my knowledge. This conference call was assembled by MACO, Maryland Association of Counties, to get one county or feedback from the counties, and then also to hear why the solar people thought this was a good idea. And of course, they think it's a good idea because it's another let's ram it through because the counties are getting in our way. So I'll keep you posted about SB 294. What I would like to see happen, and I don't know how to make this happen, is for SB 294 to be the result. I think that should happen is that the General Assembly creates a panel of everybody who has an interest in this to figure out what the proper compromise is, and then push off SB 294 to next year or something. So.
That's what I just see Dorchester County as being inundated with solar. It seems like, I mean, I'm all over the shore, and it just seems like this is the, our county has the most.
Queen Anne's.
Really, Queen Anne's.
What has been approved but not yet built. There's, of course, the one on 404 in Queen Anne's next to 84 Lumber. That's only about 80 acres. There's one under construction now in the northern part of the county. It's about 320 acres. And there's one that will come up for site plan approval probably this spring. That's another 350 acres. And there's other ones in the pipeline. I think Dorchester is number. The two counties are running neck and neck. And that's a function of where substations are and their proximity to transmission, 69,000 kW transmission lines. Queen Anne's County has one running all the way down, comes in from Delaware through Millington, and then right down 301. Right along 301, all the way down to the split, and then it goes down to Y Mills. And there's substations here and there that people can tap into. And the same thing is so here with the transmission line and the substations in the northern part of the county, which have encouraged people to site them in this county. Caroline County has, there's a proposal there. I'm not sure what its status is, but it would be bigger than anything we've seen.
Wow.
But I'm not sure what its condition is, or status. Kent County has had one approved. The only one in the last 7 years that the Public Service Commission has denied was in Kent County. It was about 300, just around 300 acres. There's one that's been approved immediately adjacent to the town of Chestertown. It'll be 260 acres or thereabouts. That hasn't come for site plan approval to the county yet. And otherwise, Kent County has about around 150 acres already built. Wicomico, do they have any yet?
Yes. They do. I saw one the other day. Somerset actually has a big influx of them. What they did is right. They changed it so you could, depending on the quality farm field, of whether or not they can do that.
I think it's one behind Sam's.
Mm-hmm.
Over
there. Yeah, that's the one I saw. So we need to get some direction from council. So I would say this. Next month, I may have one application coming before you guys, so we're going to have some time at the next meeting. Chris, would you assist us in creating a draft piece of legislation to forward to council. I can have Jeff come in, Jeff Powell come in next month and give some direction.
Well, the problem is that the whatever we would propose to amend the zoning code would have to be consistent with the comp plan. And the comp plan, for example, limits size to 35 acres and so on and so forth. You know my thoughts about that when it was being put in the comp plan.
Yeah.
I don't know if the current council wants to revisit those elements of the comp plan. So anything that we would put together as amendments to the code are going to have to follow those very restrictive, that very restrictive language of the comp plan. The county council may be of the mind that they don't want to do that, which means we have to amend the comp plan. But I'm happy to do whatever you want.
I think we should all have a conversation with Jeff next month. I think that would be good.
Yeah,
and then go somewhere with that. And I think that you might be helpful in writing that just because you're familiar with the mm-hmm. Queen Anne's legislation and mm-hmm. and obviously what we've drafted several times, you know, was shot down. So
yeah.
So that's what I'll do is I'll put it on the agenda for next month. And I'll make sure Jeff is with us.
The business about that some counties have done about trying to restrict the development of solar on prime soils, I think is a great idea, but has been rejected by, that is to say, Public Service Commission has been approving them under the preemption argument. For solar projects that are predominantly on the prime soils. So, you know, they give lip service to the, oh yeah, we're very concerned about the preservation of agriculture and the interruption of 20 or 30 years in the use of prime soils, but we've given that very careful consideration, but we're going to approve it anyway. Somerset County has had a couple of very big ones proposed, and I don't know how many, if any, of them have been built yet. Plus, it has that weird, it has a weird exclusion zone, so to speak, because of Patuxent Naval Air Station over on the other side. All right, so that's the update.
Okay.
Thank you,
Chris.
Yeah.
Never the solar stuff never goes
away. Yeah, well, not as long ago, but keep piling money on. Yeah. Well, they need a few extras. They're going to put the gas companies out. You won't be able to sell a gas stove.
No.
That's right.
No.
And what they're doing now is they stopped selling the connection, so if you have one, you can't connect it.
Yeah. Well, wait till the... you know, Freon's getting ready to go away. All HVAC units are going to be propane-based. And you wait till that goes in. That's in 2025, I believe. And you wait, because then there's all kinds of codes. And because where they put lines for HVAC is not in code to run propane in the walls like they're proposing to do. So that's going to be a nightmare when they make Freon go away.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of interesting stuff out there. The builders are already getting, they have plans to find a way around the using fossil fuel. They just can't do it in the initial construction of the home, so they're already looking ahead to after the final's been put in, then we'll go back and.
Wasn't it going after wood stoves?
They're going to go after everything.
Yes, they are after them.
Yeah.
We'll probably be talking about nuclear power in 5 to 10 years. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I think maybe the counties, some counties should
taken upon itself to become the pilot for allowing small batch nuclear plants. I don't think they're commercially viable yet, but in 5 or 10 years they will be. And if a county has set its land use policies up to encourage it,
I still think hydrogen is going to be our future.
Hydrogen.
Mm-hmm. They just have to learn to control it a little better, but it's limitless. So.
What's that? Atomic energy? Or what's going to
be? Well, it'll be hydrogen.
No.
Energy. So.
Hydrogen.
But it's a little volatile. But there's some cells out there.
Is that what you get out of algae?
Well, anything water-based, you can get hydrogen from. So.
I think with our solar legislation, we need to put in there. So a lot of them are putting in these, what looks like a some kind of a construction trailer, but that's where all the batteries are. And they're saying that if they catch on fire, they need something special to put it out. So you just can't come dump water on it. So we need to create something in there where it has its own fire suppression system within that trailer. So almost like, so it would disperse whatever chemicals, say it's the same chemical that's in a fire extinguisher, that it would set it off. You know, it would have an alarm and it would go off. And it would put the fire out, because they're having the same issues with that they are electric cars. So, you know, if you have an electric car and it burns, they do something different now. It's like they put some kind of enclosure over it to put the fire out, because they just can't spray it with water. So we need to look at that also, because I think that would be important.
Yeah, now that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at that. Look online about the electric cars that catch on fire.
Teslas that burn up.
Oh my gosh, it's an intense fire.
You just can't come hose it down.
Right.
It's like some kind of I think what is like in the fire extinguishers, and they have to encapsulate it.
Anything else for the good of the order? Your motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
See everybody next month. Make sure you come next month.
Do my best.
I'll do mine.